Now turn to part three. You'll hear an interview with a man called Ben Carter and a woman called Karen Jones, whose work as underwater archaeologists involves exploration of shipwrecks. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 70 seconds to look at part three.
I'm with Ben Carter and Karen Jones, who are both underwater archaeologists, diving to explore shipwrecks that are lying on the seabed. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks.
Ben, how did you get started in your career?
Well, when I first left school, I had no idea what I wanted to do, but I'd always wanted to try scuba diving, and I was desperate to give it a go. And having tried it, I was instantly gripped. As my expertise grew, the idea of underwater archaeology became more and more attractive as I was passionate about history and ancient shipwrecks. And because I'd got great scores in all my subjects at school, I had high hopes of finding a course leading to a bright future researching shipwrecks. Only to find that a suitable undergraduate program just didn't exist anywhere. So instead, I turned to some part-time college courses, for which I managed to get some funding.
And did that mode of study subsequently prove useful?
Well, to an extent, yes. I found it relatively easy to select my own personalised programme of courses, like history and anthropology, although the ones I most disliked, such as maths, were really in demand once I started my job hunt. And I'd spend literally hours searching for accounts of shipwrecks. That research did stand me in good stead once I'd embarked on my career, though. And I still managed to fit in some expedition dives around them, which kept me sane.
I'm sure. And Karen, you worked on a major project last year, didn't you?
Yes, a wreck that was lying in mud on the seabed. We slowly excavated it until a good portion of it was uncovered and then drew a map of it.
And how's that done?
Well, by physically taking measurements over a large number of dives, which can be both exciting and exhausting, and using the kind of tools that would be recognisable anywhere, tape measures and so on, nothing particularly sophisticated. We work in an effective and tightly knit team and lay a baseline, and then measure pieces of the ship from that. Those are painstaking parts of the job, as you have to be precise when you're recording the position of everything. And when you get it all right, it's a great feeling. Then, on the basis of those recordings, we create a scaled map, which helps the team excavate the area in groups.
So, how do you go about locating the wrecks?
Well, by finding inconsistencies in the seafloor, such as strange shapes in the sand that could turn out to be a ship or ancient weapons, or nothing at all. We scan the floor using sonar, and then it's just a question of literally digging up anything unusual and seeing if it leads anywhere. We initially found 100 unexplained buried shapes with this wreck, and only one turned out to be anything. But it was a ship. Then the excitement mounts among the team as we're just one step away from holding ancient treasures in our hands and becoming the first people to touch them for several centuries.
And you're both now working on the same project, a significant discovery underwater?
Yes. We found what looks like a wooden ship several centuries old. So far, we've pulled a single chest and a barrel up to the surface. Of course, centuries of seawater have taken their toll, so we haven't yet been able to date anything, and I'm absolutely itching to crack them open and see what's inside. But sudden exposure to air could totally ruin their contents, so the objects have to be carefully preserved, which could take months.
But what's your gut feeling about what you found, both of you?
I'd like to believe it's what we'd hoped for, a pirate ship, which would have been a rare discovery. We'd originally thought this was a ship that had set off to rob distant cities, but I have to grudgingly admit there may be just too much stuff already on board for that to be the explanation. So bang goes that theory.
Indeed, just as you wouldn't turn up at a supermarket with a trunk full of food, so a pirate ship wouldn't go on a raid fully laden. But that doesn't diminish the importance of the find. If it's a merchant ship, as we believe, it'll still be packed to the gills with ancient objects.
Which will all further our knowledge of that period of history. And of course, hopefully that pirate ship is still lying out there waiting to be uncovered.
So, Ben, has the job turned out to be...
Now you'll hear part three again.
I'm with Ben Carter and Karen Jones, who are both underwater archaeologists, diving to explore shipwrecks that are lying on the seabed. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks.
Ben, how did you get started in your career?
Well, when I first left school, I had no idea what I wanted to do, but I'd always wanted to try scuba diving, and I was desperate to give it a go. And having tried it, I was instantly gripped. As my expertise grew, the idea of underwater archaeology became more and more attractive, as I was passionate about history and ancient shipwrecks. And because I'd got great scores in all my subjects at school, I had high hopes of finding a course leading to a bright future researching shipwrecks. Only to find that a suitable undergraduate program just didn't exist anywhere. So instead, I turned to some part-time college courses, for which I managed to get some funding.
And did that mode of study subsequently prove useful?
Well, to an extent, yes. I found it relatively easy to select my own personalised programme of courses, like history and anthropology, although the ones I most disliked, such as maths, were really in demand once I started my job hunt. And I'd spend literally hours searching for accounts of shipwrecks. That research did stand me in good stead once I'd embarked on my career, though. And I still managed to fit in some expedition dives around them, which kept me sane.
I'm sure. And Karen, you worked on a major project last year, didn't you?
Yes, a wreck that was lying in mud on the seabed. We slowly excavated it until a good portion of it was uncovered and then drew a map of it.
And how's that done?
Well, by physically taking measurements over a large number of dives, which can be both exciting and exhausting, and using the kind of tools that would be recognisable anywhere, tape measures and so on, nothing particularly sophisticated. We work in an effective and tightly knit team and lay a baseline, and then measure pieces of the ship from that. Those are painstaking parts of the job, as you have to be precise when you're recording the position of everything. And when you get it all right, it's a great feeling. Then, on the basis of those recordings, we create a scaled map, which helps the team excavate the area in groups.
So, how do you go about locating the wrecks?
Well, by finding inconsistencies in the seafloor, such as strange shapes in the sand that could turn out to be a ship or ancient weapons or nothing at all. We scan the floor using sonar, and then it's just a question of literally digging up anything unusual and seeing if it leads anywhere. We initially found 100 unexplained buried shapes with this wreck, and only one turned out to be anything. But it was a ship. Then the excitement mounts among the team as we're just one step away from holding ancient treasures in our hands and becoming the first people to touch them for several centuries.
And you're both now working on the same project, a significant discovery underwater?
Yes. We found what looks like a wooden ship several centuries old. So far, we've pulled a single chest and a barrel up to the surface. Of course, centuries of seawater have taken their toll, so we haven't yet been able to date anything, and I'm absolutely itching to crack them open and see what's inside. But sudden exposure to air could totally ruin their contents, so the objects have to be carefully preserved, which could take months.
But what's your gut feeling about what you found, both of you?
I'd like to believe it's what we'd hoped for, a pirate ship, which would have been a rare discovery. We'd originally thought this was a ship that had set off to rob distant cities, but I have to grudgingly admit there may be just too much stuff already on board for that to be the explanation. So, bang goes that theory.
Indeed. Just as you wouldn't turn up at a supermarket with a trunk full of food, so a pirate ship wouldn't go on a raid fully laden. But that doesn't diminish the importance of the find. If it's a merchant ship, as we believe, it'll still be packed to the gills with ancient objects.
Which will all further our knowledge of that period of history. And of course, hopefully that pirate ship is still lying out there waiting to be uncovered.
So, Ben, has the job turned out to be...
That's the end of part 3.